This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
KNC Masterpiece right here on 105 through the Fan. We're live in Oxnard for Dallas Cowboys training camp. And right now, brought to you by Ford and your North Texas Ford dealers. Ford is the best in Texas. We bring to you Dallas Cowboys Executive Vice President Stephen Jones. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, guys. Great to be on.
I'm assuming you showed up to write down all the contractual numbers that you've sent over to CD and Dak and just give us some insight about what those look like.
Absolutely. We'll just get a copy of it, throw it out here, and we take a picture of it.
Now, I understand people get caught up in average money per year, and I understand that. But when it comes to CD, would it be fair to say maybe the point of negotiation is more total guaranteed money as opposed to year-by-year value?
Yeah, you know, it all comes into play at the end of the day. I mean, that's part of the art of the negotiation is to mix and match and trade off. Obviously, cash flow can be very important to these guys. Guarantees, very important. Obviously, how we structure it to work around our cap situation, hoping that the cap historically, you know, has done this in terms of, you know, going up every year. It's not always a given. I mean, we had the COVID year, and so not always a given, but you certainly try to structure things that give you, you know, you ladder that out so that the cap situation can work for us. But, you know, it's just a lot of moving parts to it, especially when you're talking about the type of numbers we're talking about for CD and Dak. It's, you know, it's real money.
I definitely understand why those two get the focus. Is it advantageous from a long-term planning aspect to try to get Micah done now as well to potentially spread some of that signing money? Bonus money out?
Well, Micah's a year removed. You know, he's 1 year trailing on CD. So, you know, typically these things really don't come to fruition, you know, till this year in terms of their, you know, number of years in the league. And, you know, as far as Micah and CD, none of them can go anywhere for another 3 years. So,
right.
You know, everybody gets up tight thinking, well, we're not going to have CD. Well, CD can't go play anywhere, you know, as long as we have our tags. Now, at some point, you know, 3 years from now, if we don't have one of them done, then we'd have to make a decision which one to franchise. But, you know, we've got a lot of confidence that we'll get this done. And CD and his team are working with us. It's very upbeat and cordial. And same thing with Dak and Todd, and feel the same way. So it's just a work in progress. I know everybody would like to just put it on the back burner and move on from it. But, you know, that's part of it.
He said long-term, you know, planning thing. And Kevin's very good at keeping his checkbook balance, and he makes plans like that. He budgets that way. I'm more of like a, hey, it's coming at me. I got to figure it all out while it's coming at me kind of guy. You can make a five-year plan, but at some point, all this stuff's going to start messing up, right? Or is it like an every-year plan, or is there like a longer-term feeling?
It's 1 year, and then it's you know, we usually don't go out five. I mean, usually – probably the fair thing to do, you know, seeing what young guys are going to be coming and that type of thing, knowing, you know, what we think about draft classes, know what we think about, you know, last year's draft class. You know, 3 years is probably a fair number that we look at in terms of the cap.
Okay. All right. Well, that kind of
And then, of course, we drill down hard when we're trying to make everything work, you know, for a given particular year. Now we're looking at the same time of how it's going to affect, you know, 1 year out and 2 years out.
The other part of that too is, you know, when it comes to that kind of, like, you want players to be loyal, you want to show loyalty, and those shows of getting those contracts done with your guys, is that an important seed to plant for the rest of the guys in that locker room too, of
sure,
this is what you're growing to?
Yeah, that's what you want. I mean, you want great chemistry. You know, we think, you know, being a Cowboy has a lot of advantages, which we obviously are trying to sell to, whether it's a Dak, whether it's a CD, whether it was Tony Romo, whether it was Jason Witten or Zach Martin or Tyron Smith. You know, we coach them, hey, Dallas is a low cost of living place. A lot of people like to move there because it is that way. There's no state income taxes. And then, of course, we do believe, you know, the power of the brand and the star, that these guys can do better off the field, and they all have their deal. Some do them bigger and better than others, but you know, they got a chance to, in our opinion, their earning power off the field is, you know, as big here in Dallas as it is anywhere.
Do agents share that opinion?
Well, they'll fight. Okay. They don't want to just give in to it, yeah. But they know it's reality.
Gotcha.
Now, unfortunately, and I know this is a part of training camp for every single team, we got the news yesterday about Sam Williams. Sam Williams, somebody we got to interview yesterday who was fantastic to talk, or excuse me, last year, who was fantastic to talk to, but also somebody who looked like they were on the onward, upward trajectory. What were you expecting from him, and how tough of a loss is this?
Well, it's a tough loss, and let's start with, you know, sick for Sam. You know, he's the one who's got the injury, and you know, he's doing everything the right way. Everything was trending in the right direction. He, you know, was a big reason why we were able to, you know, let Dorrance Armstrong go. I mean, we love Dorrance Armstrong, but we felt like Sam was coming. And then, of course, the addition of Nealon has been really big, and he's really flashing out here, catching some people's attention. We haven't put on any pads yet, so
yeah.
It's a little premature to start anointing anyone. But, no, Sam is, you know, that's a tough loss. It's a tough – I hate it for him, but it's a tough loss for this team, and we were counting on him to really step up and, you know, felt like, you know, when we did the evaluation of last year, that he was one of those guys that really deserved and should have had more repetitions in games last year, and certainly was on the docket to be a big part of this football team. But we got some young guys, as I said, Nealon being one of them. Some other guys will step up. And, of course, as we like to say, Will and I do player acquisition. Jerry and Will and I.
24-7.
24-7, 365. So, you know, those guys are combing out there looking for, you know, guys who can help us. And we'll just see where we go from there. But as you said, unfortunately, it's part of this business. It can be fragile when you lose these guys like this for the year. I mean, obviously, we had the situation with, you know, guys like Overshone and John Stevens and Diggs last year. So, you know, all teams, unfortunately, are, you know, for the most part, go through this at some point, and it's part of our business. But like I said, just heart goes out to Sam first and foremost, and obviously something that will be a challenge for us to work through, but we'll do it.
You mentioned Overshone. That was the guy that felt like he was the name of training camp last year. Like, mm-hmm. When you talk about people flashing, he was getting a lot of buzz. What are your expectations for this rookie class from last year? Because fair to say, whether it's injuries or otherwise, they underperformed last year. What are your expectations for Overshone and the rest this year?
Well, last year we were able to make some trades in the offseason there, bringing in guys like Cooks and Gilmore, and you got guys, you know, stepping up at different spots. And, you know, there weren't just those spots where you can walk in and say, hey, this guy has a chance to walk in and start. Certainly a guy like Guyton now, you know, we've got a veteran in Chuma, but with Tyron gone, with, you know, guys like Biotic gone, you know, there's opportunities here. Obviously, with Dorrance Armstrong being out, that gives Nealon a chance to really step up. BB, of course, a guy like Marist is going to have an opportunity here. So, you know, every year can be a little different depending on, you know, how your depth, your veteran depth is on your football team. And I think we've got some slots now that some guys can step up and play right away. And I think that class from last year, you're going to see some guys. I know Schoonmaker had some health issues that he had to work through, but you know, looking forward to seeing him out there. And then obviously that draft class, guys like Overshone, we need Mozzie to step up now. We didn't get Hankins back. And, you know, I think these guys can all step up and make a difference.
Yeah, what is the expectation or a progression for Mozzie right now?
You know, he's out there running with the ones. And, you know, I think he's done a good job. You know, he had to deal with an injury. But he came back. He put on the coaches wanted him to put that weight back on Zim.
Yeah.
You know, Zim.
He likes some beefy.
He likes some beefy. And, you know, he's going to play a scheme that was what Mozzie did in college. And, you know, Dan was, you know, had him going upfield. And I think Mozzie was thinking maybe he needed to lose some weight to do some of that. But I think Zim's got him dialed in here. And, you know, is going to ask him to do some things that are very familiar to Mozzie in terms of what he did at Michigan, and certainly utilize a lot of his skill sets, which are his size and strength.
Steven, I know you guys have taken it in the pants this offseason a lot from our fans that we see on the Twitch and stuff like that, too.
Never There's, from us.
No, yeah,
never.
Just said,
no, yeah, the that, nicest
never from us, yeah.
Well, they're our fans as well.
Hey, and, yeah,
that's why they're frustrated.
Yeah, I'm a lifelong Cowboys fan, born and raised here in DFW. So, well, not here in DFW. But yeah, the when you're looking at another loss like last year, I thought last year's team was very well built, very well constructed, mm-hmm. a lot of talent on it. And I know that's deflating to lose a game like that to Green Bay. And when you have to kind of go back and assess – where have we fallen short these last 3 years in the playoffs? What's been the thing? What have you kind of come up with that you're like, that's kind of the key point right there?
I just think, you know, you've got to bring and you got to – and Mike, historically, McCarthy's been good at that. I mean, he gets teams prepared for success in the playoffs. He's been to multiple championship games. He's won Super Bowls. So Mike understands it. It's just, you know, sometimes you just have some bad luck. And – you know, I didn't think we played our best defense against Green Bay. I think Dan would be the first to say that. You know, and then I think we started pressing a little bit on offense and consequently didn't play our best football on the offensive side of the ball in the first half. So, you know, we just got to as we like to use a basketball term, we got to keep – if we can keep winning these 12 games and playing around the rim, then I think we're going to have some good mojo hit. Hopefully sooner than later in terms of our playoff success. We do like our roster. I understand, you know, people are going to have criticism and say, well, how do you get better if you don't, you know, if you don't spend some money in free agency? But we're focused on our guys. We think we had a hell of a draft. I think the Kendricks acquisition was big for Mike.
Great personality on Kendricks too, man.
Of having a guy out there who can direct traffic and knows what Mike wants out of this defense. So, you know, I feel like, and then you get the guys back who were hurt when you talk about a Diggs and an Overshone, guys like that that are really, if you will, you know, guys that you weren't counting on and that we didn't count on last year when we played Green Bay. So, certainly Bland's starting right where he left off with some picks out here in practice and have a young guy out there, Carson, starting to get some attention in terms of his plays on the ball. So, we feel good about this football team.
How about the wide receiver group outside of, I realize CD's not here, and we all understand how good he is at the moment. Besides Cooks, how are we feeling about whether it's Tolbert, Brooks, mm-hmm. Turpin, anybody else? How do you feel about that group behind CD?
Well, you just mentioned them all. I mean, not them all, but a lot of the guys that we're fired up about. I mean, you do have certainly Brooks is a long guy who's making plays right away out there. Turp, we've all seen the plays he can make on special teams. And then I think they'll continue to figure out ways to get him the ball in space because he's dynamic when he's got the ball in his hands. And then, of course, Tolbert, I think he's just starting where he left off last year. He made a big jump last year. He's making plays out there in my mind, and Dak's getting more and more confidence in him. So, you know, those and, of course, Cooks is a guy who's just he has success every year he plays. So I think we've got a great group. Obviously, CD will be in here. At some point, and
next week,
I think
so,
we got
think?
A good. I wish I knew. I okay. wish I had that crystal ball.
It'd be great if he was.
It would be great. But and then that tight end group strong too in terms of our weapons, and it's great to have Zeke back out there again. And you know, the Freeman guy's really impressed. You know, a guy that you know, we were just talking about it last night at the scout dinner. Is what in the hell was he doing? you know, sitting around out there.
Interesting
guy to just have been sitting there. And, you know, he's a great 2-3 combination in terms of what he can do as a backup. He's got, you know, big, thick guy. And he's a hell of a special teams player as well. But he'll be a good addition, and I think a great compliment to Zeke. And then we'll let these young guys between the Ricos and the Maliks and those guys battle it out.
I'm glad you brought up that tight end position, because Ferguson got a name for himself after that Seattle game last year as a he'll run right through anything for Dak Prescott.
Yes,
that's
he
nice
will.
To see.
Well, he's a competitor. He comes from coaching, and his grandfather there was a bad man in Wisconsin, and so
Barry Alvarez,
he comes by it naturally, and then I think the other guys too. I mean, obviously John Stevens was having a hell of a camp
before he got hurt,
before he tore his ACL, and then of course you know what we think of Schoonmaker. We got a second round pick in him. He's out there, you know, he's quiet, he goes about his business, and he's very efficient in what he does. He's a combination guy. He can run block, he can catch it, he runs good routes. So, and then there's, you know, some young guys behind them. Hendershot's obviously been a guy around here who's done some things, so that room's a good room.
Well, you guys know where our tent is, so if you just want to come back and report contract dealings at any point,
keep up to date on things.
I can be here at any time. We'll be here for it. Thank you very much for the time. Appreciate it, good sir.
Great being on, guys.
Thanks, Stephen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Stephen Jones right here on 105.3 The Fan. Once we move into the season, you can hear him with us Mondays at noon. Perfect synergy right here on 105.3 The Fan. And he mentioned Eric Kendricks. That interview is coming up at 1:22 as we are out here at Dallas Cowboys training camp, courtesy of Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey, Best Buy Windows and Siding, and Guardian Caps.
You all right?
Yeah.
Good.
There's a look, if you had more time, you'd always love to. As he said, we drill down on the salary cap. There are always different things that I would love to drill down on as
well. Would you ever want to talk to whoever the Secretary of Treasury or whoever's in charge of the deficit for our country?
Yes.
Do you have plans on that?
Dude.
Do you have thoughts?
This has been the way since I was a kid. I remember the church I went to, we got a brand new roof, and it said that the church was $3 million in debt. And I was like, hold on. Our roof wasn't broken. We just needed to like spice it up, and we were adding some different things. And I was like, that feels like a poor use of money.
It's an expensive roof right there, too.
There was other stuff to it, I'm sure. And they redesigned a whole bunch of stuff inside the church. And I was like, that just feels like poor planning. And I really, even as a kid, I wanted to talk to the person who ran the monetary fund with the church. Coming up next, it is time for our brand new Olympic segment. All right, we've got a couple of options, but we're still looking for more feedback as well at 877-881-1053. Should it be "Don't meddle in my business"? Should it be one of your original new ideas, or our brand new Olympic segment, "Don't gold your breath"? We'll do it next right here on The Fan.
Screen, there
James
you go.
Looking, finding Durant, fading Durant.
KNC Masterpiece back here on 105.3 The Fan. It is time for our brand new Olympic segment, which is still undergoing some construction in terms of names. We have Kiss the Rings, Don't Gold Your Breath. Somebody just suggested The Gold and the Beautiful.
What does that mean?
From that soap opera?
Somebody meaning me. I just...
It was Reginald.
Full Metal Jacket.
Okay.
Or Don't Meddle in My Business are the leading contenders thus far. You can also vote on the Twitter poll at KNC1053. So some of our ideas, if you want to send in ideas for the name of the segment, that would be fantastic. 877-881-1053. The Frankel and Frankel text line, that would be fantastic. You can also hit us up on Twitch, on YouTube. But it is Olympic talk. How much did you guys watch the men's basketball game against Serbia?
Oh, man, Kevin, I'll be very honest.
Feels like not a lot.
What was it on? Was it on Peacock?
Because
I didn't see
NBC.
Oh, man, I had it on NBC all night, and I did not. Maybe I'm watching the wrong
NBC. It was
on
in the morning.
Yeah, you got to watch it when it's live. I mean, you're trying to watch the reruns. And honestly, the rerun came through, I want to say, around 5?
Okay.
5 o'clock?
All right. Yeah. Okay, so if it was on in the morning yesterday, man, I'm not going to lie.
10 a.m.,
I slept,
baby.
I slept in late yesterday.
Past 10 a.m.? Okay.
Yeah, this was one of those times, Reggie, where I was like, you know what? No kids in the house. You know, I don't have any real responsibilities right now, so I slept as hard as I could.
Now you know how I live.
Man, dude, it must be nice. Actually, I did wake up at 7, and I had an apple fritter that I had left over from the day before. Mike, I want to assure you,
wild.
big donut is just fine. Big donut's going to be okay.
Yeah,
I know
apple fritter's fine. Regular donuts are done.
I haven't seen a cronut out here.
Yeah.
So. Scared to make them. Yeah. I know what will happen to their product if they make. They're going to have to be all cronuts all the time with regular donuts.
Uh-huh.
Apple fritters. You know, stuff with cream and jelly. You're
uh-huh.
all right.
Yeah.
But
big donuts still.
Big donuts.
They're shaking right
they
now.
Are.
Still.
They are. Now, it was the game as a whole was really fun to watch. It was an incredible, specifically first half for Kevin Durant. United States was up by 9 at the half. In large part because Kevin Durant, 21 points, 8 of 8 from the field, 5 of 5 from 3. It was crazy watching him work in that first half.
In your face, Jason Tatum.
Yeah, so Jason Tatum.
You want me to run down his stat line for the game, Kevin?
Is this Jason Tatum's?
Yeah.
I feel like I know it.
Yeah, it was 0 minutes.
Yeah.
Zero
nothing.
Points, zero assists.
Same for Halliburton.
Zero steals. Yeah, but there was two different demeanors when it came to the DMP CDs for those guys. Tyrese Halliburton, very happy, dapping up his teammates, really involved.
Yeah.
Jason Tatum, not so much the same.
And then Steve Kerr, I know he was like, he'll play in the next game. And then we talked about it this morning. His response was, and I know your next question is, I don't know who that means won't play. And we were kind of joking, like, you do realize they can all play, right?
What if they can't?
What
if Nike won't
I
let
them? I watched some of the game. I don't know. I don't know the box score. But when I watched, and I will say I didn't watch a lot of the second half. I watched a lot of the first half. Devin Booker might be the guy that you can sit on the bench.
So Devin Booker actually ended up, he turned it on because he went 4 of 6 and was 4 of 5 from 3. So
okay.
He started working it
as
from 3.
As long as it's not like a do or die game.
Fair. If it weren't for size concerns, man, Joel Embiid continues to have a summer slump going on.
Yeah, he was behind the basket trying to make a layup, and I was like, what happened there? So that's interesting. But
so you did see the game.
I saw.
Oh!
Reggie, I would send you the TikTok. It is a blooper version of the game from a woman that's like, let me tell you how I saw this game, and I kind of watched it that way. So we don't have a Christian Laettner, a guy that you're like, why is he on this team? Kind of guy, you know, like when you had him.
He was the best
this team. This team
player,
stacked across the board, and there's nobody that can sit. So I see how it is. But he's just, hey, he's conserving minutes for the final game. I guess this is what they're doing here.
I mean, but like you heard Reggie, Halliburton seemed like he was fine, and Tatum's like, all right,
mm-hmm.
is this because I didn't win MVP
mm-hmm.
finals or Eastern Conference finals? I see how it is.
He's after it,
yeah.
So.
No, you have to play your best Celtics when you have them, and that's clearly Derek White and Jrue Holiday. Clearly, those are the best Celtics.
Yeah, and they don't have Brown, so.
You can do like what Marcus Stroman does in the World Baseball Classic. He's on a different country every year.
Yeah.
how many countries can you play for? And Stroman's like 5.
Yeah.
He's like, I'm not good enough for the United States. I'll do this one. I'm not good enough for Puerto Rico. I'll do this one.
I don't know if you have you watched any Olympic tennis, Mike?
Table tennis.
Yeah. Okay.
And that is amazing. Woo! That is, I'll tell you what. There are certain sports that if they would have been more popular back in, like, I don't know, the 1920s or something, when we decided that baseball, I don't even know if basketball is considered a popular sport in the 20s, but kind of football-ish, right? College football and stuff. I'm like, there's certain sports you watch in the Olympics, you're like, I think if the best athletes in the world played this, and I'm sure the best ping pong players are playing ping pong, oh my God, that is amazing watching them play ping pong.
Okay.
It's electric.
let me ask y'all a quick question then, because Anthony Edwards was talking about this, and he said, I got some people talking about they're going to beat me in ping pong 21-0. Now, he's talking about people who are on the actual national ping pong or table tennis team. He goes, I don't believe it. Oh, and then he even talked about if it was 11-0, he goes, I'm not having it. 11-0, I'm scoring 1 point.
Did you hear the girl, though, or the woman? She said, there's only one way to find out.
Yes.
I love that trash talk from her.
So hopefully we get to see it. Mike and Reggie, what do you think about the legitimacy of Anthony Edwards scoring 1 point in a match against someone from the U.S. national team?
I'll bet $10,000, and I'm not lying. I will bet $10,000 that Anthony Edwards, without ever watching him play ping pong, would not score a point.
You know what? If we could get that on social media trending, I feel confident he would accept your bet.
I just need to know that the person that's playing for the national team, and maybe I need to watch United States because I'm watching kind of people from foreign lands play, and they're amazing. So maybe my U.S. guys can't do it. I forget where they're all from.
The foreign lands of the world.
But if you play if he were to play the people that I watched the other day, there's no way. There is no way. I'll tell you this. I do get to watch the Texas Rangers play ping pong.
Okay.
There's a ping pong table in the clubhouse, and they're pretty good at it. Like, they would beat me pretty good. I'm telling you, these guys, when you watch, and I haven't watched the women play table tennis. I'm sure it's very similar. It is amazing what they are doing. And I don't think Anthony Edwards would have a chance unless the person screwed up.
Right.
Does that make sense? The only thing Anthony Edwards is hoping for is a screw up. Not that Anthony Edwards smokes a ball past him.
Yeah, and this actually reminded me, U.S.'s table tennis team isn't like the best historically. There are five, count them, 5 summer disciplines that the United States has never meddled in.
Ooh. Oh, no.
And table tennis is one of, why'd you say, oh, no, you thought I was going to make you guess them?
No, because I immediately assumed that table tennis was one of them, but now I really want to know, do you know the other four?
I do know the other four.
Will you tell us?
I will after you make a few guesses.
Badminton.
Correct.
Okay.
We're bad at paddling stuff.
Okay.
Rowing.
I wouldn't have said it like that. No, rowing. We've met.
We do a lot of rowing in the United States.
Yeah, remember the Facebook, the Winklevi? Didn't they try to do that?
I don't know. Equestrian?
Definitely meddled in equestrian.
Okay, all right.
Would you like to take a swing?
Something like what we're talking about, some sort of table tennis or...
Canoe slalom.
No,
definitely meddled in canoe slalom. You guys got badminton. I mentioned table tennis. Handball.
Handball's amazing.
We're not good at handball.
fun to watch.
Apparently, we've never meddled at trampoline.
Oh, and the artistic rhythmic gymnastics?
And rhythmic gymnastics is the fifth. We're so good at gymnastics, why can't we get the rhythmic variation down?
Because maybe we need the rhythm and the rhyme.
Simone Biles can figure it out. Actually, that is a great segue to gymnastics. If you can give me that cut number 7, Simone Biles is still showing out doing stuff.
And what I see is this confidence that's going to be scary today.
See you, Simone Biles.
Dude, our women's gymnastics team
is awesome.
Looks like they want to kill everything. They they have just their faces look like they are so serious about business that they have to take care of. Suni Lee, her smile's electric. They're a fantastic group. I was watching a lot of that yesterday, and they just look like they are here to take care of business right now.
Simone Biles leading the way. She will, of course, be in the all-around final, and then a top contender for beam, floor, vault, looking to add to the plethora of metal she already has. Somebody said... Shout out to the South Korean archery team. Now, I was actually prepared for this story. The South Korean China women's archery final went to a shoot-off. Do you know how they finally decided who won the gold medal?
Somebody had to shoot an app off the other one's head.
I think that, you do 10 paces
and turn around and let it fly.
Right. Or, or you have to shoot through like the arrow that was already in the target.
Is it closest to?
Yeah, but they were so close together, they had to use a magnifying glass.
They didn't use an index card?
No. It was not playoff or it was not football stuff.
We don't have lasers for this yet?
We haven't figured that out. So they went up, used a magnifying glass to determine that South Korea was the champion once again.
Hold that, China.
Yeah. Yes, exactly.
Why are y'all scared?
No, I mean, I don't know. I feel like every time somebody speaks out about China, their movie gets in trouble and they have to backtrack what they're saying.
Thankfully, I don't have a movie.
Oh, good point.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Not with that attitude. Whoa. Mike.
Aren't they our number one competitor for world dominance?
I think that is fair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and that's why Rush is teaming up with them. So.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. There's a lot of stuff going on.
We've had
a lot of
geopolitical talk out here on this trip.
Thanks a lot, Reagan.
Mike, have you watched any Olympic tennis?
No, I haven't. I'm sorry.
Okay. Oh,
they're playing on the clay?
At Roland Garros.
No.
Clay Thompson.
No, they're not playing on clay. For some reason, I thought I heard that they were playing on clay.
Oh, yeah. No, they are playing on clay.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. I'm sorry, Mike. I hope you understand. I assumed you were making a joke, I was prepared to fight it back. But
I was like, maybe they're on hard court.
You are correct. My apologies. Because
is this pushing back the U.S. Open, by the way? Is he because don't the U.S. isn't the U.S. Open in
like
August. Mid-August?
Yeah.
And I'm wondering people, like, are they just flying straight here and then they're not preparing on hard court surface?
That is a good question. The U.S. Open still starts August 19th, it says.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, we'll be largely done there, especially with the tennis portions of the Olympics. They just missed the opening ceremony or the closing ceremony.
And I think August 19th might be when the juniors play. And so maybe the 26th is when the senior players get going. But Rafa Nadal won in the first round, which set up perhaps his last matchup ever today with Novak Djokovic. Do you want me to spoil it for you, or do you want to see if like maybe it'll be replayed in prime time or something?
Spoil it.
What's the movie, Remember the Titans?
Yes, that is a movie.
I don't care.
Okay.
I mean, I care, but like, it's fine. If you spoil it, it's not going to ruin my day. I'm probably not going to find it anyways. I got a little St. Louis Cardinals, Texas Rangers baseball to get ready for.
Okay, Djokovic ran over Rafa Nadal.
Which makes sense, right? Like, Rafa is basically retired at this point.
Sure, that is true. That is true. So, I believe it was 6-1, 6-4, and that might be the last matchup they ever have, and I just thought that was a really cool note.
Oh, they only play... Oh, they do women's rules?
Yes, they do.
What do the women just do three sets too?
The women also do three sets. I think it would be cool if they had to play best of five and they just flipped it for the Olympics for, I don't know, really some unknown reason. And they're like, hey, we'll just do the opposite.
And to be fair, the men also play like three sets in
some majors. There are some non-majors. Yeah, there are some non-Grand Slams where they definitely still play best of five.
Why don't you think that, I mean, I know this is in Olympics, why don't you think that Wimbledon or the U.S. Open, why don't you think over time they haven't gone to five sets for women?
Sexism. I honestly have no idea. I've also wondered that.
Have the women ever asked for it?
I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, you can't just do it without asking them.
I bet they don't want to, because the fatigue level, I bet, throughout a tournament is already a lot. When you watch, and then just doing that, like, they'd probably like, I don't want that fatigue level.
Plus, more money for less play in that way, right?
Yeah, and I
like to play less as well.
I always used to think that in terms of, like, the Williams sisters obviously won a ton of Grand Slam doubles. I always wondered if that would have scaled back their double schedule at all if every single match you had to play on the single side also was best of five.
Ooh, that is a good question.
We'll never know. And then also, are you guys ready for, I didn't get a chance to mention this last week, are you ready for the eSports Olympics?
Oh, yes. Nope.
Man, that was not the enthusiasm that I was hoping for.
Are we playing Call of Duty?
Girl.
Oh, yeah, girl.
Girl. Are girls good at esports?
Dude,
like,
hey, Mike, yes.
I feel like probably, right?
And listen, dude.
So you're saying like the top, if I go, dude, honestly, if I go look up the top 10 player esports people in the world, I'm going to find women? Are you telling me?
I don't know.
I have no idea whatsoever.
I'm going to say it sound like they're totally
equal.
I'm going
to say yes, Mike. I'm going to say yes.
All right. It's just a question.
I don't know the answer. The IOC.
I don't know the rankings either.
Voted that they have created the esports Olympics. It will start next year in. Can you guess?
Arlington.
Saudi Arabia.
Okay.
But I can understand why you would guess Arlington.
We're just hoping.
The esports games for the Olympics will start next year. We're the KNC masterpiece right here on 105 through the fan.
They're
right
all guys.
Now.
Oh, wow. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe it.
More sexism. Oh, man.
God.
I'm going to blame that on sexism as well.
Agreed.
Right now, it's time for some Mike Likes It.
All right. So I'm going to get back into baseball. And I was having an interesting conversation along with Dave Raymond and David Robertson the other day in the dugout for a second. And we were talking about hitting and how it's down in Major League Baseball. And I never thought of this theory, but David Robertson was like, man, I have a great theory for you guys on part of the reason batting averages are down over the last few years. And it's a thing that I love that baseball did. Baseball went to a very balanced schedule. They went to, you're going to play the Dodgers every year. You're going to play the Padres every year. It'll be, well, you play them this year at home, next year on the road. But we are going to take away 6 games of the Astros. We're going to take away 6 games of the Athletics, 6 games of the Angels, 6 games of the Mariners to make this where you can see every team play each other. We're going to take away those games. And I never thought of this, but this is a great theory from David Robertson. He says, because of that, you don't face the same hitter that much. And so now that the starting pitchers aren't facing the Astros, let's say in possibly 4 or 5 starts, it's only going to be 2 or 3 starts, advantage pitchers. A relief pitcher having to face the Astros 18 times and possibly face them in 9 different games. All of a sudden, hitters get more of an advantage the more they see a pitcher, the more that they know what they're trying to do. The pitcher now has to either go over the same sequence again and hope it works again, or totally change the sequence, which they might feel uncomfortable with. And so he's like, part of the reason hitting has gone down over the last couple of years is we took away the unbalanced schedule. We took away all the divisional games. And he said, that's advantage pitchers.
Interesting. I mean, that the way you laid it out makes sense. And I have to admit, I hadn't particularly thought about it like that.
Mike, can I bring up a little piece of breaking news that's happening right now? According to Ken Rosenthal, a 3-team trade, which would include the Cardinals acquiring Eric Fetty. So we might have to play him again against the Cardinals. The Dodgers would acquire Tommy Edman, and the White Sox would acquire prospects. That deal is close. And the Red Sox also just made a trade with the Pirates that just went down to acquire a pitcher as well.
Okay.
So I just wanted to – yeah, thank you very much, Lucy. Really appreciate that.
28 hours till trade deadline?
We're getting so close, man. Getting so close. So keep an eye on that. But, yeah, now you have to play Fetty Wap again if that deal thing happens.
He
plays St. Louis.
Shut us down.
Yeah.
So. He's a good pitcher. He makes 92 look 102, at least the game that I watched. So, all right. So, anyways, just wanted to throw that out. I thought David Robertson had a great point. So, there's always, when things look good, and I'm not saying I do still like it. I like that the Rangers play the Dodgers every year and they play the Cardinals every year. I do like that. But there are other sides of it that can become negative for the game, too. It's not always just all positive.
Yeah.
So, I never thought of it, but he's like, that kind of, for hitters, that makes it more difficult. They're going to randomly face this Dodgers rotation that you're not going to ever face again. It's only 3 of the guys, these relievers. You're only seeing this one series. You don't see them later in the year or anything. So it makes hitting a little bit more difficult when you're seeing all of the pitchers around the league and then you don't see them again a month later, or you don't see them again a couple weeks later.
Did you also ask him about potentially moving the mound back 6 inches?
So I did talk to him about that and other pitchers. I'll just throw Spores. I talked to Spores about it. And here's the deal about moving the mound back 6 inches. They were saying that it'll make their breaking ball more nasty. Yes, it will give the hitter maybe a hair more of a time to see the ball. But think about how the ball breaks. It keeps breaking, right? Sometimes you're like, damn, like that had a lot of break to it. Well, now they're saying moving it back 6 inches might not have the same value that you think because, yes, our fastball, you can see it for 6 inches longer, which would help. But that gives our chance for the breaking ball to break even more at the hitting area, the hitting zone. Hmm. So they're like,
interesting.
We'll make the adjustment and then we'll throw more breaking balls at times because they'll be even harder to hit with the more break that you get on the ball.
I'm terrified.
Anyways, that wasn't like a end-all, be-all. I talked about moving the mound down 6 inches to just 4-inch mound height. And then this point was brought up. You could probably hurt pitchers because they're going to have to get better extension and it'll be more torque on their back. So that would help out the hitter. Bringing the mound down, they thought, would help out the hitter more because it'll be more of a flatter throw than the elevated downward trajectory. But you might have to deal with more back injuries from pitchers.
Interesting.
Well, great. Now we're going to have to contend with
always,
all that.
I think that's the thing is when you say, let's do this, and it could help, but there's also a side that it'll probably, there'll be a negative side to it. It's just a matter of, did the positives outweigh the negatives?
We're going to end up playing T-ball one day, Kevin.
The pitcher just goes
and puts the ball on the tee.
No.
Just like football is going to turn into flag football one day.
Oh, no, I think we're just going to have inflatable helmets. That guy that has all the big head things.
He is going to say something else.
Hey, Geno Smith said he might wear that in a game.
See, like we're going to have these things where we're going to be
a
like.
A trendsetter.
Guys aren't going to.
An icon.
What's going to happen when you wear that? They're going to be like, your helmet's in the neutral zone. They're like, no, that's just my inflated ball thing.
Hey, just a reminder that Guardian Caps is one of the main sponsors for this training camp thing. So don't you forget that.
Well, I think they're awesome. I'm just. I do. I think that, look.
You just pointed out new rules.
There's major brain injuries in the sport of football. And that's why a lot of parents like me are like, please don't play football.
Fair.
We don't need it. Like, this is something that the risk and reward is not there for a lot of people. But it is there for some people. And they love it. And I love watching football. I just don't want my kids to ever play football. Okay. Now I go to the American League West. So, guys, I'm going to just throw this out kind of as a question. So far, the only good news we got over the weekend is that the Astros haven't traded to get better yet. Is that fair?
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's rumors. In fact, there was a rumor about Fetty, but I guess that's dead and gone now. There's a rumor about Jack Flaherty, who pitches for Detroit, who could be on the move.
He has been scratched from his start tonight to protect him from being traded. To protect him from an injury before being traded.
If he's not at the ballpark, he can't be traded, Kevin. That's how that works.
Let's be honest. Like, John Gray, he ain't getting traded now. Like, that is the fear. If you know you're trading a player, and the Rangers didn't know they were trading John Gray. I'm not saying they were, but that's the fear is Jack Flaherty goes out there, throws a warm-up pitch, and just is like, I'm done. And they're like, oh, crap, is he done for 2 weeks? Is he done for 2 months? Nobody knows. And then you can't really trade a player when a team is desperate to make the playoffs right now, and they have no clue if that player is going to return to the form that they were before the injury. So I look at the Astros, and they're better than the Rangers. Let's just be honest. I hate saying it, but they are. Okay. I don't know how they keep doing this, but they keep doing it. It is impressive that they're probably going to make the playoffs, I believe, for the 8th straight year. We'll see if they make the ALCS for an 8th straight year. But they are just super impressive. It's amazing what they're doing. The only thing I can say is their farm system is so bad, they might not be able to help their major league team out in the next 24 to 30 hours.
Yeah, which is feels like a positive. Hey, I know we didn't talk about this a whole lot at the beginning of the show. I was just curious, real quick, how did you feel about the other Rangers trade and picking up Carson Kelly in terms of it feels like a backup upgrade and somebody who could potentially spell Hyman a little bit here and there.
So you know what I thought is I was like, Kisner has been Max Scherzer's catcher for every start. So Kisner has been playing every fifth day along with Max Scherzer. But I assume that Max Scherzer is going to have to work with Carson Kelly. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like, where I think Kisner's staying on the team. I don't think they're releasing him. Don't get me wrong here. But I don't see how Kisner plays now.
Yeah.
because Carson Kelly is better. They traded for an upgrade from Kisner. You'll have three catchers on your team now. Now, the other thing, too, is...
Is there not a better way we could use that spot, then?
Well, I remember when Chris Young came on last week with G-Bag Nation.
Yeah.
He said he wanted to improve the depth of the bench.
Okay, I got you.
Now, the other thing, too, is does it become a 50-50 split? Like, Jonah Heim's season this year. I get what he did last year. But do you get to the point where you look at Carson Kelly's numbers and you look at Jonah Heim's numbers and you go, maybe it's a 60-40. Maybe Carson Kelly catches Max Scherzer and I'm throwing out a name. I have no clue. And Nathan Eovaldi.
Yeah.
Like, he's catching both of those guys. Now, I'm not saying that's the case. Maybe Nate Eovaldi, because he's thrown so many games to Jonah Heim last year and this year. That might not be the right guy. But, I'm just – maybe when Tyler Mahle comes back, maybe, like, Carson Kelly's catching him, and then you have a 50-50 split at the catcher situation. I mean, that is a possibility, because Jonah Heim is not really helping you offensively this year.
Jonah Heim's batting average is .231. Carson Kelly's .240. OPS, Kevin, for Jonah Heim, .619.
Whoa.
And you got 100 points higher from Carson Kelly at the moment in OPS. So
I do like the move, but Corey brings up the numbers. It might be more of a 50-50 at catcher. It might be back to when you had Trevino and Heim, and you weren't sure who was going to be better. Heim ended up winning out the battle. Trevino went on to be an all-star. It looked like we made a mistake, and then the next year Heim takes off and was awesome. And now you might be looking at more of a 50-50 split with Heim and Carson Kelly, and I guess Kisner's there under a guaranteed contract just in case there is another injury. So I think it was a pretty good trade, and a trade that might lead towards Kelly being signed in the offseason.
Wow. Wow, that would be very interesting to see if that could happen.
And then the other thing, too, is Seattle, obviously, they destroyed the White Sox. I don't know if the White Sox are going to win another game this year, to be honest. And now Fetty Wap's gone. So they
And then
Garrett Crochet is only making starts where he's pitching 2 to 4 innings. So there are two guys that had won 13 of their 27 games all year. Now one of them is gone. He had 7 wins. So now they're down to 20 wins on their team. And a guy who has 6 wins is not allowed to pitch 5 innings or more the rest of the season. They might lose out. I know they won't. Yeah. But it feels like they might. The Seattle Mariners still have not done anything else besides adding Randy Arozarena. Now there is a rumor on MLB.com. It's kind of bold prediction stuff that they are trying their best to add Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
That would be a move.
Right, we'll see in the next 24 hours if they're able to do that. And that's it for me.
All right, there you go. Mike likes it right here on 105 Through the Fan. Remember, 5 o'clock Central tomorrow is when the trade deadline hits. And then another interesting point after that, the next day is when we should get more information about Diamond Sports Group trying to save their business model. Coming up next, though, it's time for the C-Block starring Corey Majors.
It's time to start tabbing the dudes that you're keeping an eye on out here. And, Kevin, let's revisit some of the Reagan museum and library from yesterday, next on The Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.